You're listening to Hey Bitches Podcast, episode 144. What's up, you guys? It's your girl, Carly, and welcome to Hey Bitches Podcast. Each week, we get together and chat through sex and dating, health and wellness, navigating every season of your life, and so much more. Think of Hey Bitches as your weekly get-together with your besties to explore new perspectives, take away new knowledge, and level up your life. Are you ready? Let's get into the episode. Hey bitches, what is up you guys? It's your girl Carly. Welcome to Hey Bitches Podcast. I hope you guys are having an incredible day. Today, we are talking 10 things that I wish I knew in my early 20s. And when I say I, what I really mean is 10 things that I put together from personal experience and personal research, and also to like combing the internet and asking people what they wish they knew in their early 20s to share with you guys today. I've actually talked about your 20s before. I actually feel like now that I'm turning 27 this year, I'm on my like late 20s grind, which seems dumb because obviously 25 is your mid 20s, but then I don't feel like you're in your late 20s until you're like 28, and I'm in my like weird semi mid young adult 20s. Not my late 20s, not my early 20s, not my mid 20s, but my young adult 20s. It's like the differentiation between like preteens and tweens and then teens. I feel like I'm in my tween era, although I don't actually really know if that's right. Regardless, I turned 27 this year, and here are some things that I think that I wish I knew and I've researched and I've looked up early that I wish I knew like in my early 20s. Going back to the point though, I feel like we have a lot of like undue pressure in our early 20s to be a certain way and have a certain amount of things done and know exactly what you need to be doing and be on that path and buying a house and having a family and having a baby and all of those things. Obviously, a lot of factors play into that. Familial is one of the biggest ones, like family pressure is one of the biggest ones, but also society. And now on top of that, social media, we have this pressure of growing up and being adults, full-blown, like, adults in our 20s. And I feel like some of these things I wish I did earlier in my 20s, and some of these things are points where it's like, I wish I didn't take that shit that seriously because you're only 20 once, you know? You're only in your early 20s once. And it's just a completely different era, and you don't have to be a full-blown adult. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have every box ticked by the time that you're 25 or otherwise you're a failure. That's not something that I subscribe to or that I'm interested in. And it's actually something we've talked about on the podcast before. I will link it in the show notes. It's called You're Not a Failure in Your 20s and Here's Why, where we talk about, you know, why you're not a failure in your 20s and kind of dive more into the pressures of society and family and social media and feeling like you need to get your shit together in your 20s. But in today's episode, I did kind of want to share things that myself and other people wish that we knew or wish that we did or did not do earlier in our 20s. So if you're a listener who falls into that early 20s category, this episode is definitely for you. And even if you're not in your early 20s and you're in your later 20s, maybe this episode is also for you. And maybe you do need to hear some of these. And I honestly probably promise you that there are some of these that you do need to hear, because writing these down, I was like, damn, that's personal. That's personal for me. So without further ado, let's get into 10 things that I wish I knew in my early 20s. Number one, which I'm sure if you Google this, it's like the number one most reported answer, is that I wish I saved more money. I really wish I saved more money. And I wish I also realized that saving money is actually important. When I was in my 20s, I'm still in my 20s. I don't know why I'm talking like that. When I was in my early 20s, like I'm talking like literally 20, I was ignorant to money. And there's an episode, you guys can actually go listen to it now, all about healing my financial mindset and navigating that, creating a budget, and then investing into my future wealth, where I dive deeper onto my money mindset and what it was like when I was 20 and in my early 20s. But on the surface level of that, I wish I knew earlier that like saving money actually is important. And I say that in a way where it's like, I don't wish that I would have dumped 50% of every minuscule paycheck that I was making when I was in my 20s into a retirement fund or into Bitcoin or into stocks. I just wish that I saved a little bit more. And when I say a little bit more, I mean like at all, because I drain every single paycheck that I had for years and years and years, probably up until I was at least 25. That is number one, is that saving money is actually important. And it's important for a lot of reasons. Obviously, I deep dive into this in a different episode, but being able to do things like travel and have the money for that, or be able to enjoy experiences with your friends and your family, or be able to afford things that you want to afford in your life, or even setting yourself up for the things like retirement and maybe having extra money to invest, or being able to move out or buy yourself a car or go to school or anything like that is important. Saving money is important for that, because you know, you can't pay for things with air, I'll tell you that for free. And so while I don't fully regret spending the money that I did in my early 20s, I do wish that I would have at least saved some of it. Like a small amount, like maybe $100 from every paycheck, maybe even less, just a little bit. So I was like slightly ahead. On the topic of that though, number two on the list is that spending money is actually equally important. And I say this because I think that a lot of the time when we hear you need to save money when you're younger, especially, I think this really especially ties into the idea of retirement and compounding interest, and all of the financial experts are like, do everything when you're the youngest you possibly are because the time value of money increases and like they're right. That's the thing. It's like, I'm not saying they're wrong, but I do think that when you're 20, grasping the idea of the time value of money is hard. There's a lot of people who are like, yeah, sure, compound interest, but I also want to go to the bar, so I'm not going to do that. And I totally get it. And I think that's really valid. I think that being afraid of spending money when you're younger, because you know that you maybe don't have the job that you want, you're not making the income that you want, or XYZ, is also a reality, as much so as spending all of your money is. And like I said earlier, this really does relate to your upbringing around money and your mindset about money and all of that. But I do think that it's important to also spend money and enjoy. Your early 20s, you have like the least responsibility that you probably will ever have in your life. So spending that money and living paycheck to paycheck and being broke and living in your parents' basement is a whole experience about being in your early 20s, because you essentially have no responsibilities at that time. And spending that money, going to the bar when maybe you should have put it on your credit card, or going out for dinner with the last $4 in your pocket and hoping you can flirt your way into somebody paying for your bill, I think is an important experience as well. I truly don't think that you should be afraid to spend money in your 20s with the crippling idea that if you do, you won't be well off in your future. We have so much time, especially because we're so young. We have so much time to fuck up and make up for it in the years to come. And I see this a lot in, for example, like credit card debt, which is another point on this list. But I see this a lot in that kind of thing where we're young and we're dumb and we don't know what we're doing and we get ourselves in this situation. But because we're young, we have so much more of a runway to be able to figure it out. I think that your 20s are all about making mistakes and having fun, but learning a lot from those mistakes and from those fun things that you did that maybe you look back on and you realize weren't actually that fun. I think that that kind of thing helps you to be more clear and more intentional in the future when you're stepping into that era in your life where you want to be more responsible and maybe you have more responsibilities like a family or a pet or, you know, a house or a car or a PhD. I don't know. But I do think that being young and being dumb and spending money and doing reckless shit like that is okay. And it's something that if you're in your early 20s, that you should know is also okay. And you shouldn't be afraid to spend those hard-earned dollars that you earn. Speaking about and coming back to those hard-earned dollars though, number three on the list is the proper way to use credit cards and how to do that to set yourself up better in the future. Now, we literally just talked about this where I think that it's a pretty universal experience that a lot of us, when we're younger, unless we have parents or mentors who really sit down and have have those financial conversations with us, we'll get ourselves into credit card debt at some point, okay? At some point. It doesn't have to be exorbitant hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just debt. I like carried credit card debt for forever. Honestly, it took me a while to figure it out, but the debt was like $2,700, which is not $100,000, but it's still money that I owed that was fucking up my credit score, that was like bringing my shit down, that was resulting in late payments that I later found out won't fall off my credit file for 7 years. There was just so much that I wish I kind of knew when I was younger and I was taking those credit cards out. Obviously, I literally just said that you shouldn't feel bad about spending money, but I do think that if I had more of an idea of credit and what it was, how to use it properly, and I was shown that and like actually taught that, be it in school or from my parents or from my peers or from other people around me, or maybe even of my own volition, like I maybe could have looked it up, but I was not cognizant enough, I think, to do that. If I was more aware of that, I think I would be in a different place in my life right now. And that's not to say that I'm not in a good place, but I do think I could be in a better place, because something that I don't think a lot of us realize as we grow up is how important credit can kind of be. I think we really start to realize that once we're in the stages of renting apartments or buying our first car that's not the car that we've had since high school, or taking out a student loan, or trying to buy a house, because the house one is really fucking me over right now. And we will talk in length and in depth about my house journey. But I do wish that I knew earlier how to use credit properly to set myself up in the future, because if I would have taken that time and that credit history and I would have optimized it just slightly better, I might be in a better place than I am today. And maybe I would have gotten further than I currently am today because I was a little bit more cognizant of that. So if you're listening to that right now and that is resonating with you, I really do implore you to get serious about credit and figuring it out. Regardless if you're in your early 20s or if you're listening to this and you're a full-blown like 45-year-old. I'm not saying that's old. I'm just saying that that's like a different age, just to differentiate. But regardless if you just got your credit card like 2 years ago because you are literally the age of 20, or if you've had credit for forever and you're still trying to figure it out, I really implore you to start taking steps to figuring it out and figuring out what is best for you and how to set yourself up for a proper financial future. I obviously, as you can tell, I'm very passionate about this because I really do wish that if I could go back when I was 20 and figure out credit and be better at it like I am today, I would 1000% do it. Number 4 on 10 things that I wish I knew when I was in my early 20s is that not knowing what you want is okay. And I say this in an overarching aspect, okay? The first thing that comes to mind when I say this, though, is as it relates to education, college, university, essentially whatever you're doing after high school. Because something that I think a lot of people struggle with, something that my girlfriend actually is struggling with, is like, what do you want to do next? What is it that you want to do for your major? What is it that you want to do after this job that you don't like? Like, what is a job that you think you would like? Like, what does that look like? And I think that a lot of people really struggle with that because obviously there's societal pressure and, you know, shit to pay for and XYZ that tells you that you need to figure it out so that you can start doing it, because the world is making you feel like if you don't, you're going to be behind. I think that something that I wish that I knew in my early 20s was that it was okay to kind of not exactly know what you want. Obviously, that worked out in my favor because I was able to stumble into something that I really love now, that is my career, and I'm having a great time and I'm very grateful for it. But I have a lot of friends. I actually have one friend in particular who changed majors in university, I think 4 times before landing on the major that she has now graduated from. When you think about how a university program is 4 years and you take 4 of those years to figure out your major, and then you still have to finish all of the courses in the major that you've finally decided to do. I think she was in school for like 6 years until she finally, maybe even longer than that, 6.5 years, until she finally graduated in a field that she felt passionate about and really loved. And my friend, she graduated from psychology in a psychology major, and she actually went on to do this wild grad program, like not actual like PhD grad program, program, but a program that was designed for grad students with her undergrad and was in this like little research pod. And her findings actually were cited in relation to the project. And it's like a full medical journal that she had her findings in. And I think that's amazing. But when you look at it on paper, it took her a while to get there and a while to figure out that is what lights her up and that is what she's passionate about and that is what she loves. And I think that a lot of people do get caught up in the, well, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do for a career? And what am I going to do for a job? And like, what if I don't know yet? Like, it's okay to not know. On the flip side of that, because this point isn't not knowing what you want to do in university is okay. The point is not knowing what you want is okay. And I actually want to talk about that in the context of relationships as well, because I think that on top of feeling like we have to know what we want out of our career, we also have to know immediately like what we feel we need out of relationships and out of partnerships. And we should just somehow like intrinsically know that versus going through these experiences and figuring it out. And I think that like not necessarily knowing what you want is okay. I've talked about this in the podcast before, how looking back, this is hilarious because I think I was talking about it in the context of me creating this list of things that I want out of a partner and bitching about how people would always be like, write down the qualities of your dream man and da da da. And I'd be like, I could never do it. Spoiler alert, it's because I'm gay. But in the actual, like, the depth and the breadth of the point that I think I was trying to make at the time is that a lot of the time, like, you don't know what you don't know. So in the context of relationships, you could be dating somebody and they could do something that you're not cool with, that you don't think you want out of a partner, or they could have this like certain ambition that you don't think is something that aligns with you, or a habit, or, you know, a belief, or XYZ, or like you see how they treat their family or their friends. You're experiencing all of these things essentially for the first time. And it's okay to not know that beforehand. Because when you know, and then you can turn those into, you know, standards or rules to live by or XYZ when it comes to relationships. But I do think that not knowing what you want out of relationships and partners is also okay, because we can't know it all until we're faced in a situation where we're figuring it out. Overarchingly, this point is for anything in life. Not knowing what you want is okay, especially when you're in your early 20s. Because like I said before, we have a fucking long time to figure that out, okay? A long time to figure that out. And not knowing what you want to do for the rest of your life at the tender baby cherub age of 21 is okay. Number 5 on this list is that trying a bunch of things is also okay. And I think this really ties into the story about my friend and her psychology degree, because she tried a million things a million different times before she found something that stuck, that she was really passionate about and she really loved. I think this also can translate into the relationship example, where you can have a bunch of partners, you can date a lot of people, you can sleep with a lot of people, you can do those types of things to figure out what you do and you don't want. And that's okay. Like trying a bunch of things, maybe seeing a lot of people, doing a lot of hobbies, starting and stopping things is totally okay. I think that oftentimes we get chastised if we don't see things completely through. And I just don't think that's fair or helpful to anyone when they feel like they're stuck in doing one thing because they did it and they committed to it and they feel like they can't change or they can't get rid of the thing because of that. I actually think a really good example of this is careers. We've seen this, I think, so much more. Mostly it's like boomers and like elder millennials who are talking about how Gen Z is flip-flopping from jobs left to right and there's no like company loyalty anymore. Obviously, there's a lot of factors to that. A couple of them are being underpaid or expected to do so much more work than you're supposed to. I think that obviously millennials, later millennials, and Gen Zs are demanding more respect and fairness in the workplace than people in the past have put up with. And that's the reason a lot of them are leaving jobs. And I do think that this really ties into this point, because it's okay to try out a bunch of things. Like, it's okay to get a job, work there for 3 months, realize it's not for you, and then move on to another job. For the most part, companies could care less about you. So ultimately, you owe them like no loyalty. Number 6 is that sunscreen is your best friend. And I do not care if you are a literal baby angel cherub 20 fresh year old. Okay, I don't care. I don't care. Sunscreen is your best friend. This is something that I wish I knew a lot earlier on. Sunscreen is so important in your skincare routine for a numerous amount of reasons, okay? One of them, obviously, is anti-aging. As a society, I think we have an aversion to aging, but that's a whole conversation for a whole different day. But protecting your skin on your face and on your body is very important because it's like our largest organ on our body. And going into the second point of why we should be wearing sunscreen as well and why you should do it really as early as possible is the whole elephant in the room, which is skin cancer. I don't know if I've talked about this in the podcast before, but I did actually have skin cancer removed in 3 places on my body. And it's not because I was irresponsible in the sun. It was mostly because it was just, I had moles that then were in a different shape, which they're not supposed to be. They're not supposed to break a circle. I had to get them removed, lasered out of my body, cut out of my body, all of those things. But we all know that the sun isn't really like super necessarily good for us. And if you're not protecting yourself against the sun, you are at a higher risk of skin cancer. And I don't want to see that happen to any of you guys. Okay. I didn't want to see it happen to me either, but I don't want to see it happen to you guys. And this is definitely something that I wish I learned earlier on because now it's totally a habit in my life, but wearing sunscreen. Number 6, wearing sunscreen, it's important, okay? If you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know if I need to wear sunscreen, wear the damn sunscreen. Specifically also too, wear the sunscreen even if you're a person of color, okay? Wear the damn sunscreen. Skin cancer does not discriminate. Maybe we got the melanin in us, we'll look young forever, but skin cancer doesn't discriminate, okay? By not wearing sunscreen, you are making yourself susceptible to that, and I don't wanna see it for you, okay? Wear the damn sunscreen. Number 7 of the things that I wish I knew in my early 20s is that you do not have to move out of your parents' house because everybody else is moving out. This is something that when I wrote this down or when I saw this, I was like, ooh, you know what? True bestie, because I feel like when I moved out, I told my mom, I was like, I think I wanna move out. She was like, okay, but you don't have to. And I was like, but I think I want to. I should clarify, I don't actually think that moving out was a bad idea, but I do think that I had this like internal societal pressure and like around me pressure of people moving out and like having that be a symbol of success is having your own space and being able to self-sustain outside of your parents' home. And I honestly wish, looking back, that maybe I didn't move out as early as I did. I've only like been out of my mom's house for like 3 years, something like that, 2.5 years. And that's not really that long of a time. I moved out when I was like 23. That's not a big deal, but I do know other people who moved out literally as soon as they could, who regret it because they wish they would have stayed home, saved money, taken that extra money, saved it, put it into potentially buying a house so they never had to rent or XYZ, people have a whole bunch of different goals. But my point here is that I feel like a lot of the time we're pressured into moving out because it's what we're supposed to do when we hit that early 20s type of stage after we're graduated and we potentially have like full-time careers and stuff like that. The obviously next stage is to be self-sufficient. And I think that another really big thing that plays into this is like the dating pool and your dating life in your early 20s. And I think this is actually probably a larger driving factor for me than it was about like societal pressure, was that I wanted to date around and, you know, be able to have sex and those types of things, like not in my parents' home. And I don't think my mom ever really cared. She never talked to me about it. Obviously, I was respectful, but I think that I moved out like a large reason in part of that so I could have that type of freedom. But looking back, I wish I would have stayed home a little bit more because I potentially could have been in a different position as of today. Number 8, this one is more for y'all than it is like a regret that I have. And this one is have more sex and don't regret it. Obviously, you're listening to Hey Bitches, where it's been years and years of debauchery and bullshit. And I've been having sex. We know I've been having sex. And we know that it's either been really good, really bad. It's fucked me up. I've gone to therapy. I've fallen in love. I've like done all those things, okay? I've been having sex. However, regrets or something that people wish they did earlier in their 20s or earlier in their life before they grew up and had responsibilities or met people and got married is had more sex. Have more sex and don't regret it. I think that figuring things out sexually and like being fun and carefree and doing all those things it's important. I think it's obviously it's fun. You're having a good time. You're figuring things out. You're figuring out what you like, what you don't like. You're meeting people. You're figuring out all of those things. And I think that society obviously puts a pressure on us to be like proper people who wait until marriage. Like, I mean, that's a whole religious thing, but like, you know, the idea of body count, we talked about this in my body count episode, where on one side I feel no remorse about the things that I did and the amount of people I slept with. But then on the other hand, sometimes I do feel remorse about the amount of people that I've slept with and the outcomes of a lot of those things. And I think that as we get older, we care a lot less about that. And obviously this is like a recurring theme when I looked this up, is that people wish that they would have just been more sexually liberated and free, especially too, because a lot of the people that you're probably meeting in your early 20s, you will never see again in your life. Like, just because you see these people in university all the time, or you see them at the bar every single weekend that you go out, I guarantee you, as soon as you stop being in your party phase and going out and like doing all those things, which hits probably around 25, you will never see these people again. So why are we stressed? Why are we stressed if we're sleeping with them, or if they know that we're sleeping with other people, or, you know, or we're having fun, or we're XYZ? I think that that's obviously like a patriarchal thing of like people knowing that I'm sleeping with other people and like how that is making me perceived in the public eye and da da da. And that's like a whole other podcast that we could get into. But I do think that it's important to be sexually liberated and have those experiences, because as you get older, a lot of things will probably change and you will have a better idea of what you like and you don't like. And maybe you don't need to be sexually liberated when you're older, but having those experiences when you're younger can really fast track and shape your relationships as you get older. And having no regrets about that will make you feel a lot better when you get older and will allow you to kind of look back more fondly at that time in your life, especially when you are partnered and you have one person that you are seeing for the most part. Obviously, lots of people have poly relationships and open relationships and XYZ, but for the most part, people are in monogamous relationships. But when you're there, you got a family and a kid and XYZ, you're gonna look back at that time and you can either be like, damn, I wish I did more of that, or you could be like, damn, I did that and I don't regret it at all. Number nine, the way I'm gonna say this, you might be like, Carly, what the fuck? But listen to me. Number nine is that people pleasing for the important people in your life is more important than people pleasing for everyone in your life. And when I wrote this down, I didn't really know how to say it properly without further explaining. So allow me to further explain. A lot of us get stuck in the people pleasing trap of pleasing literally everybody that we meet. And I think that that also comes back to patriarchal bullshit if you are a woman. But I also think that it comes from wanting to be accepted and fit in just in general. And something that I read a lot about when I was making this episode and making these notes is that people really regret trying to people please everyone, and they wished that they would have spent more time people pleasing, quote unquote, the people that were important to them. And I kind of took this in a way where it's like they wish they would have spent more time and poured more of their water into the cup of the people that they thought were important in their lives, that they valued in their lives, versus dumping water into all the cups of everybody that they literally have ever met. And I think this is a really important thing, because when we are thrust into society after we come out of our regular high school regime routine, I think that we're so used to the people that we see all the time and the people that we were around for so long that we want to gain the approval and the trust of these new batches of people. And we do that by over people pleasing to people that maybe don't even matter. Like, you do not need to people please to your mailman. And I'm not saying mailmen don't matter. You know what I mean? Like, but that's not a person who makes a important impact in your life. You know, the mailman is not detrimental in your life. So I guess if I were to rephrase this point, it would be to pour more into the cups of the people who are important to you versus pouring into the cups of everyone you come across for the sake of pouring into the cup. You don't necessarily have to pour your cup into everyone. You can be precious with the contents of your cup and pour into the people who pour into you as well, and into the people that you think are important in your life. Number 10 is that taking care of your health when you are in your early 20s is the building block for the rest of your life. And also, bonus points if you are still on your parents' insurance, because I learned that one the hard way. For real though, on this point, I've talked about this before. I was a dancer growing up. I was very active. I was always doing things. And then when I graduated and I was no longer in that kind of dance routine anymore, I didn't seek anything else outside of that. I was just like, okay, well, that part of my life is done and I'm done with it. And I think that sometimes that's good, because especially with like competitive dance, like that is a really intense thing and you don't need to be at that level for your whole life. But I do kind of wish that I would have taken my health and my movement and my overall like joint health, like that kind of thing, into consideration a lot earlier than I have. And those are like the building blocks of the rest of your life. And I say this in a way where it's like joint health. For example, obviously your collagen is deteriorating between your joints as you get older, but being active, staying active as you continue to age and stretching, for example, or making sure that your body is hydrated and getting into those routines early, like moving your body, getting steps in, especially because so many of us have desk jobs where we just sit and we aren't active and we don't move, and that if we are implementing those routines and those strategies into our life to have these healthy activities and healthy movement and pouring positively into our bodies, then as we get older, our bodies will continue to support us in a way that makes us feel good. Additionally, on top of that, I don't know what this is like in other parts of the world, but here, a lot of the time, you can be on your parents' insurance until you're 25. I should say here as in the fact that I'm in Canada, but I was on my mom's insurance until I was 25, and I really wish I would have done the things that I was supposed to do before I turned 25 that I wouldn't have had to then pay for when I was older. Like I did the things like get my wisdom teeth removed and stuff like that. But I wish I would have like gotten my last eye exam that I didn't have to pay for at before 25, or, you know, took advantage of my mom's really good drug prescription option and maybe went and saw the physio more, or used my massage benefits, or stuff that I just didn't really think was that useful at that time. But this is almost kind of like the time value of money, which we talked about earlier, and about how if you take care of it early or you pour into things early, the dividends of it are net positive. That was such like a finance bro thing to say, but if you do pour into things early, the dividends of it are net positive. So for example, I've broken my ankle a million times. If you follow me on Instagram the summer of 2020, you would know I was in an air cast the entire summer. So I got brittle bones, okay? Not actually, I just have like really loose ankle joints. But if I would have maybe taken that a little bit more seriously when I was younger, when my bones were more malleable, when I was a little more active, when I could have implemented that active recovery into my life a little bit better, I think that would have been fantastic. It's not that I can't do that now at the age of 26, but doing that earlier in my life probably would have set me up better. And I think that's simply just the reality. And so that's why number 10 is that having those healthy activities, routines are all a foundation to living a healthy and happy life in the future. With that, it comes to the end of the 10 things that I wish I knew when I was in my early 20s. I do really hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and you guys enjoyed chit-chatting with me about the 10 things that I wish I knew earlier in my 20s. And if you are in your early 20s listening to this right now, I hope that it really did put some things in perspective for you and helped you out. And even if you're not in your early 20s and you resonated with some of these, I hope that this is the fire, the flame under your pot, or whatever the fuck, the flame under your ass, or whatever it's called, for you to make these positive changes in your life to get to that next level that you love, the life that you're living, and the person that you're becoming. That is it for today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to screenshot this episode and share it over on Instagram and tag me at Hey Bitches Podcast. I would absolutely love to chat shit in the DMs with you about this episode. Before you go, make sure to subscribe to Hey Bitches wherever you listen to podcasts. And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/HeyBitchesPodcast. If you are an Apple listener, make sure to give the show a rating and a review. It really, really does help me out, and I would really appreciate it. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I will see you next Tuesday. And for now, bye-bye, bitch.